try to listen up here as this last message that we cover. The first message that we covered was in Genesis chapter 6 was, who were the sons of God? We identified those sons of God as being the angels, more importantly, they were the angels that left their first estate, and that Jude talked about, so we understand that a little bit. And then the second message that we covered was, what did they do? What did these angels that left their first estate, what did they do? And we talked about that, what they did. And then the third message that we're going to cover today is going to be, what happened to the sons of God that fell? What happened to them? Where are they, and what is their situation? And next time we bring some message, I hope to bring some on the offspring of the sons of God. And then, you know, there have been giants flood. How did that happen? And things like that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well in the future here. So anyway, let's pray and get right into it. Father, we need you. Lord, I pray you'd bless us now. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness to us. Thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So what happened as a result of these sons of God? What happened to them for their disobedience and for what they have done? What happened to them after they did this? And in order to find the answer, we have to go back to some verses we already looked at today. Jude verse 6, it gives us the answer of what really happened to these sons of God. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. What is that great day? That's the day of the Lord. Amen. That's the day of the Lord. They are kept in chains under darkness. Why? Well, because they were so heinous and wicked that they could not be unleashed on the earth any longer and able to roam. So God at the flood took them. Now this isn't Satan, we understand. Because if Satan was bound with chains, then how could he have tempted the Lord Jesus Christ? How could he have appeared unto the sons of God? How could he have appeared unto Job, or with Job, and tormented Job? So this is a certain class of angels that is talking about. It is a certain class that were chained. What were they? They were the angels that left their first estate. They were chained. They are waiting the judgment of the great day of the Lord, when they will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. They are in a holding cell of what many have called Tartarus. Many have called it that. As it's in the Hebrew and different languages, Greek, they have they've labeled it that compartment of hell. There is a certain compartment of hell that's down there that houses the beast that was, that is, and shall be. And shall be again, or whatever. It's a place where many believe that the Bible says that Judas went to his own place, and that place is that Tartarus, that place where he is. It's a holding cell in hell. It's not quite hell, but it's a holding cell, a compartment there, that they're being chained. Remember, they're not in the lake of fire. They're not actually, I don't believe, in hell fire. I believe they're in a holding cell, awaiting their final judgment. Which is what this says, because they're in chains. Why? Because they're spirits that are chained. What's the purpose of chaining them? So they can't get loose and roam on the earth, do the same thing that they did before. So they could not, after the flood, come up and the sons of God again come unto the daughters of men and create giants in the earth and continue to corrupt the earth and the seed. So God said, no, you're not going to be able to do this again. Chain them at that point. They are being held in the same place, like I said before, that Judas Iscariot is being held in, I believe. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. If you want to go there, please. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, watch this. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Do you see this? There are spirits that are imprisoned. These are the same spirits that in Jude chapter 6 are the angels which kept not their first estate. He hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. What is that? That's a prison. When you go to prison, you're chained, right? That Tartarus is a prison, a holding cell. And it says that Christ, when he went into hell, and I believe he suffered there, when he went into hell and before he led captivity captive, he took a stroll over to the prison, to Tartarus. Now, what was the point of him taking that stroll? Well, it says here in 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime these spirits were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God, what is he referencing again? God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. He's referencing again Noah. He's referencing the flood. And he's saying that at that time, those spirits were disobedient to God, and he pulled them down, and he put them in prison in the earth. He put them in a prison holding cell called Tartarus. He put them in there, and it says that Christ came to that prison, and he preached to them. Well, what do you think the message was that he preached to them? I think he said something on the order of, you remember that whole sons of God, daughters of men, when you corrupted the earth and all flesh and all my creation, you tried to prevent the seed, the promised seed coming. Here I am. I made it. And I'm about to lead captivity captive and give gifts to men. And I'm going to rise from the dead and I'm going to pull all these people out of paradise. And I'm going to ascend to my Father's throne, which you tried to stop from happening. And all the earth is going to be judged, and this gospel will go forth into all the earth. And you're going to be in prison for a while longer. But then I'm going to cast you into the lake of fire for all of eternity. But I just want you to know that I won. And I'm God. Amen? That's the message that he had for the spirits in prison, I believe. I believe he went to them and told them I was victorious. Why else would he go and preach to them in prison? Why else would he go to them? They're in prison. They have no hold. He wanted to prove to those sons of God, those 200, so to speak, that history records, we're not sure about that, but history records that there was 200 of them, those angels that left their first estate. And he just walked up to them in their prison cell. Remember? Remember what you tried to do? Well, Noah did make it. My seed did make it through. And I'm here. And you're judged. And you're awaiting your final sentence in the lake of fire. Remember, thousands of years had passed since that flood. They've been in that prison. And I can't. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm not using this loosely. I guarantee you, when they saw him, they were mad as hell. I guarantee you they were. Their anger, their wrath, their fury was just, they were infuriated when they saw him. I believe that. I believe they were angry, bitter, tormented. Because they're held there. Now, how mad do you think they're going to be when those chains are loosened? Because many believe those chains are loosened and Apollyon comes out, which the Bible says he does. Apollyon. Now, I will say this to you. There's some that speculate that the lead angel that Enoch uses his name for, that's the Greek word is Apollyon, okay? And that there's a word that would signify that the name Azazel would be similar to that word Apollyon, and that's the same exact word that was used, or the same exact name that was used for that god of the underworld. Because Apollyon is that god of the underworld over them, kind of. And when it says chains, I'm not sure if they're actually... If it's a chain like chained, or they're just like chained in kind of a compartment that they can never leave. I don't know how that works exactly. I'm not sure. The context seems to be that they're chained into this darkness. I believe it may be that they're chained into this compartment and they cannot leave it. This compartment in hell that they can't go anywhere. They can't leave it. They're stuck there, and they're mad. You know, they're very angry. Anyway, but notice that something, what he's preaching to them is victory. These were the spirits that left their first estate. These are those spirits that committed this fornication. And all of creation perverted because of these beings. Remember, thousands of years had passed since the flood. They had been there for a very long time. They're very mad. When Christ squared his shoulders and looked them dead in the eye and preached to them, I can imagine it infuriated him even more. But let me give you just a historical spin on this a little bit, okay? And we understand that the Bible does say that they were in prison. So, and this history lesson that I'm going to give you kind of from the book of Enoch, again, it's history. It's not the Bible. It's just a historical record. So I want to preface that again saying that. It'd be just like if you were reading, if I was going to read to you the history of the Roman Empire or something like that, or Josephus. Josephus's history is not Bible, but I guarantee you Josephus's history is very accurate when it comes to Christ being there. And the Jews recorded, Josephus recorded all the events of what happened during those gospel times, that he wrote them all down. And I mean, he explained himself very well in that and explained every event that took place. So that's kind of how I'm reading this. So understand that. I'm not reading it as it's the Bible. But anyway, he says, Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields. And it's talking about the fallen angels and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, and bracelets and ornaments, and the use of antimony and beautifying of the eyelids, and of all kinds of costly stones, and all coloring tinctures, whatever that is. And those, and there arose godlessness, and they committed fornication. They were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. Simaza taught enchantments and root cuttings and the resolving of enchantments. Barraquil taught astrology. Coca Abel taught the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Arikiel, the signs of the earth. Emziel, the signs of the sun. And Sariel, the course of the moon. And as men perished, and Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates, made known to them, and ornaments. And there arose much godlessness. And they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. And they were taught enchantments and root cuttings and resolving of enchantments and astrology and constellations. And Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds, the signs of the earth, and the signs of the sun. And Sariel, the course of the moon, and as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. So Enoch is recording in his history book. What he is saying here is that these sons of God that left their first estate that are now chained in prison, at that time, they were teaching all this wickedness to the world. How do you think man in that amount of time, not his smart, the intelligence that he held, because man lived a long time, 1,000 years, everything like that, but how do you think they learned all this wicked things about the earth? How do you think they learned how to conjure up all these things and spells and all that? How do you think they learned all that? Learned it from demons, from the sons of God that fell. That's how they learned it. And then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel looked down from heaven and saw much blood shedding, being shed upon the earth, and all the lawlessness being upon the earth. And they said one to another, the earth was made without inhabitant, cries, the voice of their crying goes up to the gates of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven, the souls of men make their suit, saying, bring our cause before the Most High. And they said to the Lord of the ages, Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings and God of the ages, the throne of thy glory standeth unto all generations of the ages, and thy name holy and glorious and blessed unto all the ages. Thou hast made all things, and power over all things hast thou, and all things are naked and open in thy sight, and thou seest all things, and nothing hide itself from thee. Thou seest what Azazel hath done, who hath taught all in righteousness on the earth, and revealed, listen to this, and revealed the eternal secrets which were preserved in heaven. So he says that these demons, or these false demons, and listen, we understand that, you don't believe this, but there is a lot of record and recording of witches and sorcerers, and you say, nope, you're never going to get me to believe it. Okay, fine. Don't believe any extra biblical thing, but let me give you a biblical one. Moses stood in front of Pharaoh, and Moses took the rod, and Aaron threw the rod out, and the rod turned into a serpent. All right? Okay, so then what happened? So then the sorcerers and the false prophets of Pharaoh came out, took a staff, and said, well, we can do that too. Watch. threw that thing down on the ground, turned into a snake. Right, son. Thanks for helping. But what happened? Now, wait a minute. Now, if there's no supernatural world out there, and there's no demonic activity out there, then how in the world did Pharaoh's men have an understanding of how, we don't even want to get into Egyptian. I mean, I don't have time to even go down that. We will, but there's, I'm telling a lot of stuff there. We don't have time to hit it today. But when they threw that staff down, it turned into a snake. How? By what power? But man, this seems awful low, but I guess it's okay. By what power? But by the power of the devil. By the power of the devil. But they still did it. And he says here that they revealed the eternal secret. So who revealed to those false prophets of Egypt and those those warlocks and those sorcerers, who revealed to them to throw a staff down and turn it into a snake? Do you know that missionaries have reported that there have been witch doctors and men out there that could heal people by touching them, and then when that witch doctor would get saved and he no longer had that power to heal? Missionaries have reported that around the world. See, we live in this really blessed bubble in America that we don't experience firsthand all that stuff. But these third world countries see a lot of it. There's a lot of wicked things that go on. A lot of wickedness. Anyway, so I believe this agrees with Scripture when it says that they revealed unto them the eternal secrets that which were preserved in heaven, which men were striving to learn, it says. So men were striving to learn the wickedness anyway. And these false angels, or these angels that left their first estate, came down and just taught them. Said, well, you want to learn it? I'll teach you. And Samhaza, to whom thou gavest and given authority to bear rule over his associates, and they have gone to the daughters of men upon the earth, and have slept with the women, have defiled themselves, and revealed to them all kinds of sins. And the women have borne giants, and the whole earth has thereby been filled with the blood and unrighteousness. And now, behold, the souls of those who have died are crying and making their suit to the gates of heaven, and their lamentations have ascended, and cannot cease because of the lawless deeds which are wrought upon them. And thou knowest all things before they come to pass. So he's saying in there, they were crying out unto God, and those angels, which were watchers, the ones that hadn't fallen, were going to deliver this petition or whatever. They were going to tell God that they needed to say. Now God already knew this that was going on, and that's exactly what he said too. He said, "Well, God already knows it. You know this is happening." I believe the angels probably asked God a lot. Hey, can we go down there and take care of that? Oh, there. Can we just wipe them all out? You want us to just wipe them out? Remember, they're in heaven with God, and they see the wickedness of the earth. Anyway, but these were watchers, and that's why. And I, Enoch, was blessing the Lord of Majesty and the King of the Ages, and lo, the watchers called me. Now, who are these watchers? Now, again, this is historical record. I just want you to understand that. I'm not saying it's Bible. But he says, history records here, the watchers called me. So he says that those fallen angels called him because he was a prophet of God. And they called him Enoch the scribe and said to me, Enoch, thou scribe of righteousness, go declare to the watchers of heaven, this is God of heaven, who have left the high heaven, the holy eternal place, and have defiled themselves with women, and have done this as the children of the earth do, and have taken unto themselves wives. Ye have wrought great destruction on the earth, and ye shall have no peace nor forgiveness of sin. Inasmuch as they delight themselves in their children, the murder of their beloved ones shall they see, and over the destruction of their children shall they lament, and shall make supplication unto eternity, but mercy and peace shall not attain. He's saying there's no forgiveness for them. So Enoch, history records that Enoch went to this leader, these fallen angels, and he said this, thou shalt have no peace. A severe sentence has gone forth in thee to put thee in bonds. And shalt not, see how this agrees with Scripture, that he was taken and he was put in bonds, that they were taken and they were put and they were chained. And thou shalt not have toleration nor request granted to thee because of the unrighteousness which thou hast taught, and because of all the works of godlessness and unrighteousness and sin which thou hast shown to men. Then I went and spoke to them all together, and they were all afraid, and fear and trembling seized them. So history records here that Enoch went to them And he stood in front of their face and he told them, "You're in a lot of trouble." "And they besought me to draw up a petition for them that they might find forgiveness and to read their petition in the presence of the Lord of heaven. For from thenceforward they could not speak with him nor lift up their eyes to heaven for shame of their sins for which they had been condemned. Then I wrote out their petition and the prayer in regard to their spirits and their deeds individually and in regard to their requests that they should have forgiveness and length of days. And I went off and sat down at the waters of Dan, the land of Dan, to the south of the west of Hermon. Their petition till I fell asleep, and behold, a dream came to me, and visions fell down upon me, and I saw visions of chastisement, and a voice came bidding me to tell the sons of heaven and reprimand them. And when I awaked, I came unto them, and they were all sitting gathered together, weeping, in which is Lebanon and Sensir, and their faces covered. And I recounted before them all the visions which I had seen in the sleep. And I began to speak the words of righteousness and to reprimand the heavenly watchers." So he's saying that this history is recording here, and I'm not saying that I agree 100% with this, I'm just saying that's what it records, is that he went to those watchers, and God used him as a prophet of righteousness. Remember, Enoch walked into heaven. He was not, for God took him. And he went right into heaven. So he was a prophet of the Most High, and the Bible calls him that. In the book of Jude, it says that he was a prophet, the seventh from Adam. And the book of the words of righteousness and of the reprimand of the eternal watchers in accordance with the command of the Holy Great One in that vision, I saw in my sleep what I will now say with the tongue of flesh and with the breath of my mouth, which the Great One has given to men to converse therewith and understand with the heart as he has given to man. The power of understanding the word of wisdom, so hath he created me also and given me the power of reprimanding the watchers, the children of heaven. I wrote out your petition in my vision. It appeared thus that your petition will not be granted unto you. So he's telling those 200 that God's not going to forgive your sin. You were sons of God. You left your natural estate and your habitation. And he says you're not going to be forgiven. Your petitions will not be granted to you throughout all the days of eternity. And that judgment has been finally passed upon you. Yea, your petition will not be granted. From henceforth you shall not ascend into heaven unto all eternity, and in bonds of the earth the decree has gone forth to bind you for all the days of the world. That agrees with Scripture too, doesn't it? And that previously you shall have seen the destruction of your beloved sons of no pleasure in them, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And your petition on your behalf shall not be granted, nor yet on your own, even though you weep and pray and speak all the words contained in the writing which I have written. He's saying there was no forgiveness for them. They couldn't be redeemed. They had done so heinously and wickedly that God would never forgive their sins or their trespasses. And their sons, they would die. And they would watch their sons, the giants, the men of old, the men of renown, they would watch them die. They had this grand idea that their sons would live forever, that their sons would live because of their blood and their bloodline mixtures with angels and everything else, that they would live a very long time. You know, they didn't know how long, maybe, you know, and possibly it could have been that they would not have died on this earth until the flood, you know, until, because they would have lived probably thousands of years because of their makeup and because of the way they did things. I don't know. But history agrees with Scripture that they are bound until the day of judgment comes. Now, if history disagreed with the Bible, then I would discount history completely. You understand that? I'm making that very clear that book of Enoch is not the Word of God. It's not the inspired, infallible Word of God. It's just some historical resources, just like any other history is. The giants, the Rephaim, their sons and offspring, died in the flood along with all flesh that had corrupted itself on the earth. The punishment of the fallen sons of God was to be chained, and that they would watch their beloved sons die in the flood. But where did the spirit of those sons go? That's the question, and we'll try to answer that in another message. But I can tell you that they were not exactly man, and they were not exactly angels, but they were a mixture of the two. And many believe that the demons, that their spirits did not go to hell when they died, but that their spirits, they are disembodied spirits or demons that roam the earth today. And some of them believe that when you hear about legion, we are many. And here's something interesting. Let me ask you, Why did those demons say, please, don't, hast thou come to torment us before the time? Before what time? What time were they? What are you talking about? What time? The day of the Lord. What did they ask him not to do? Don't send us into the deep. Well, what? Well, then why aren't they chained into everlasting darkness? Why are they here on the earth roaming around? Why is legion, for we are many, which are thousands, by the way. What is a legion? Is a legion a thousand or is it out here? Is it a thousand? Joe, you're smarter than me. Is a legion a thousand? Thank you. Okay. Let's put Google on that. Siri? But anyway, so legion, we are many. And he said, don't cast us into the deep. Why? Well, don't send us down to Tartarus. We don't want to go down there yet. We're not ready to go down there yet. Well, how did they know about down there? And who was down there? Well, they knew their fathers were down there. That's why. They knew that their fathers, the sons of God that have left their first estate, were down there. They were disembodied. Is it a thousand or?
It's over. It's like 6,000.
Okay, yeah. I knew it was that we are legion, we are many. I knew it was a lot. And anyway, so it's thousands, right? Thousands of them at the time was in one man. And they were saying, hey, don't send us into the deep. Well, where'd they come from? And why were they just roaming around in the earth? And why weren't they in an angel form? And why didn't they just like Satan appeared unto the Lord? Why didn't legion appear unto anybody? Why? Tell me the answer to that. Why didn't legion appear to anybody? But Satan could appear and an angel from the Lord could appear. The reason why is because they didn't have a body to appear in, so they had to inhabit or possess someone. Because they had no body. They had no body. Now, let me ask you a question. Some of you think I'm nuts right now, probably. But let me ask. No, I'm serious. I think it sounds crazy too. But let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw it right back in your lap. You believe the Bible or not? Who was legion and why was he in somebody else's body? And why did Jesus Christ cast him out of that body? And why did they say, don't send me into the deep? And Jesus said, okay, I'll send you into those hogs. And they went down into the water. And why do they like to hang around water? And why are they always around the water? And what happened in the flood? And where did their bodies go? To their bodies? Gone. Why were they around the water? Well, because that's where they ended up, was around the water. Because he flooded the whole earth and it was all water. I didn't make it up. It's Bible. Why don't they have a body, folks? Are demons the same as fallen angels? I don't believe so. As angels? No, I don't believe so. I think the demons, they're the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim's offspring. What else could they be? Otherwise, why don't they manifest themselves? What do they need to get into somebody else's body for? And why did Jesus look at him straightly and say, get out of here? I know who thou art, they said. Son of the Most High, I know who thou art. Hast thou come to torment me before the time? Time of what? The end, the day of the Lord. You here to do this now? Is now the day? Are you coming before the time to do this? You're not going to send us into the abyss, are you? Right now you're going to send us? No, not yet. So he threw them into the pigs and they went down. Well, now that's very interesting, isn't it? Let me ask you another question. Here's another question that you can answer for the crazy preacher from Northfield. Why did he have to cast them into something? I know, I'm preaching spooky things to you, but why did he have to cast him into something? Apparently, they needed to be in some kind of a body. Didn't they? Because Jesus wasn't going to say, you're not going to roam around here. You're not going to roam around me. You're getting out of here. And when he cast demons out of the bodies, where did he send them? Go into those pigs. And straightway down in the water, all those pigs went. And those demons killed all those pigs. They killed them all. Just sent them straight down in the water. Sent that herd of swine down in the water. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Was Jesus just figuratively talking? Was he really joking? Was there really not demons there? Was he just talking to himself? Are you accusing Jesus of the same thing as they did? He by the finger of Beelzebub they cast out devils. So was he just talking to himself? Because then Jesus would tell you that, well, that doesn't make any sense. A strong man can't, you know, you're not going to fight against yourself. If Satan fought against Satan, I mean, it doesn't work that way. So what was he saying to him? Oh, it's pretty easy. He was saying that those were demons. They didn't have any bodies. And he sent them back, and they went back into the water. He sent them into the hogs. They had to be in some kind of a body. They went straight down to the water, and that's where they were. Now, I wasn't planning on really talking about that, but when we pick up the... Now then, when we talk about that in the future here, then you're going to start to wonder, well, where did all this stuff come from? Genetic modifying, new giants that came about, who gave the knowledge of the dark secrets of the universe? You know, how do they know how to crossbreed things? How do they know about plants? How do they know about different things? How do they know where to find a drug out in the middle of Brazil somewhere that if you give to somebody for like 48 hours or 72 hours, they forget who they are and they're out in the middle and they don't know what they've done? Where'd they learn all that? Oh, come on. You're just talking about a spirit world now. Come on. Well, listen, folks. You explain it any other way. I just gave you Bible from Genesis on into the New Testament that gives you pretty much Bible that tells you where these spirits went when they were trapped. Demons are not the same as angels or fallen angels. They're not the same. Because those angels that left their first estate are chained down there. But their offspring don't have bodies. Angels have the ability to come as a man. Satan still has the ability, I believe, to come as a man, to come as an angel of light. These demons do not have that ability. Otherwise, why would they care to be walking? Why do they need to be in somebody then if they can have their own body and walk around and do whatever they want? They can't. Yeah. Yeah, they were trapped. Yeah, they didn't want to go into the abyss. Don't send us in the abyss. Send us somewhere else. But don't put us in the abyss. We don't want to go down there. And part of the reason they probably don't want to go down there too is because they know what's down there. They're fathers that are angry sitting down there in chains and can't get out. Man, don't send us there. Send us to Dad's house. We've been having fun around the earth. Don't send us there. But I mean, anyway, so that's, I hope that makes sense to you. We're done, but I hope that we're done with this portion of it. We're going to pick it up with the offspring and the, yeah. Well, no. Demon-possessed man had no clothes on. Demon comes out, man gets saved, the man puts his clothes in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. You think all this sexual perversion, nakedness, pornography, movies, all this stuff, do you think all of this is just by accident? Or do you think it's just of man, or do you think it's of the devil? A man is demon-possessed, how absolutely powerful he is. Yeah. The seven sons of Sceva, and they were messing around with them demons, trying to cast out demons. And those demons stripped him naked, made fun of him, and got him out of there. He said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but I don't know you. I'm going to tear you up.